The first speaker this morning will be Professor H. Tracy Hall of the Brigham Young University, who will speak on high pressure methods. Dr. Hall?
Here we got it.
Lochte Holtgraven of Keele University. How do you know a liquid becomes solid? The statement you have on page 244, or how do you know a solid becomes a liquid when raising temperature?
You probably mean in these devices that use solid to transmit pressure. Is that correct?
Dr. Lochte Holtgraven?
Well, that's right. Usually, by making a measurement of electrical resistance, we usually have to work with conductors to tell what's going on. We can tell when the material melts by changing electrical resistance. That is the big problem with these devices. You can't measure, you can't look in, and you can't measure the change in volume. However, we believe that it will soon be possible to do this. We have done the preliminary work necessary to adapt this tetrahedral anvil device for use with X-rays. Now, what we will do is shoot a beam of X-rays along the axis of one of the hydraulic rams through the triangular face of one of the tetrahedral pistons. Instead of using pyrophyllite light to transmit pressure, we use compressed boron powder, whose friction is in the neighborhood of 0.3. It's a little bit low for gasket application, but it's better than pyrophyllite light for transmitting the pressure. It works all right. It's fairly transparent to X-rays, so the X-rays will go into the sample, which could be heated in a thin graphite tube, and then we'll pass out through the faces between all this anvil arrangement. We, as I mentioned, we have done preliminary experiments to indicate that this is feasible and hope to build one in the not-too-distant future. This, then, would give you PVT at these rather tremendous pressures of 100,000 atmospheres and a temperature of a couple of thousand degrees C or so.
We have a question from Paul Keat of Norton Company. To what fundamental differences in structure or bonding do you attribute the large increase in compressive strength of silicon carbide hot pressed at high pressure over that hot pressed at relatively low pressure?
This material, when subjected to X-ray diffraction, gives the same pattern as normal silicon carbide, so we can't contribute it to any new phase of silicon carbide. The only thing that we attribute it to is we think we fused this material under these conditions, and it just must be that the fused material is bonded together better than the normal hot press material.
Is the density comparable to ordinary material?
I don't know. We didn't make any density measurements.
We have a question from F.A. Halden of Stanford Research Institute. What happens to your graphite heater in contact with pyrophyllite at your extreme temperatures and pressures?
At the extreme pressures and temperature, well, at the extreme temperatures, it dissolves in the pyrophyllite. And a ways out from the pyrophyllite, it will reprecipitate again, usually as beautiful little graphite flakes. At these extreme temperatures, you can't hold the temperature very long. The biggest trouble is the pinch-off effect. If you try to work at 5,000 or 6,000 degrees centigrade, I don't know whether the graphite is molten or not, but it behaves as though it were. And we're usually passing a high current through it to heat it. Whatever material you're using for an insulator around it is also molten, and it just pinches off.
Here's a question which is perhaps related to the earlier one. Is when you have a transition, how do you distinguish between a solid-solid and solid-liquid transition. The question specifically is, do you observe a significant change in compressibility coefficient at solid-liquid phase transformation at high pressures?
Well, in these type of devices, you can't make measurements to tell. At the present time, as I mentioned, we're almost limited to telling what goes on by whether or not there is a large latent heat effect, which you might see with a thermocouple, or by determining whether or not there is a discontinuous change in electrical resistance. About the only two methods we have for telling what's going on at pressure and temperature.
We have two questions which are directed to the problem of measurements of temperatures, one having to do with the effect of high pressure upon thermocouple calibrations, the other by Dr. Berkowitz of A.D. Little. How are temperatures over 2,000 centigrade measured with a high pressure apparatus?
I'll answer the last first. We usually use platinum-rhodium thermocouple, which at high pressure can get in the neighborhood of 1,750 degrees centigrade. Beyond that, we extrapolate power input. Power input as a function of temperature up to the melting point of these thermocouples is a linear function in some cases. In other cases, you have to apply a second-order correction factor. But it's just a plot of some kind of a plot of power input versus temperature to that limit. Beyond that, we extrapolate. And some of the extrapolations we have made are very long and I recognize are very dangerous.
Do you use a linear extrapolation of power versus temperature?
It depends on the device we're using. Some devices, of course, depends on the particular construction and how the heat loss, what the heat loss is like. Usually some kind of second-order equation or linear.
Well, now, when you get up to pretty high temperatures, like several hundred thousand degrees, aren't you likely to be off due to X-ray emission? That is, the black body radiation will be getting down into the X-ray region.
I'm sure it would. We haven't been that high.
Yeah.
Now, the other part of the question, I think, was concerned with the accuracy or
the calibration of thermocouples.
Calibration. Well, there has not been any published work at these pressures on this, except one slight note in an article that two thermocouples of widely different composition have been compared, and the temperature that you got from the two different couples was the same. Now, I understand that Dr. Francis P. Bundy and Dr. Herbert M. Strong have done quite a bit of work on this at the General Electric Company, and that they have an article in press. I haven't seen the article. But this is a difficult problem. This is not an easy problem to attack.
Well, I think our time is about up. Thank you, Professor Hall.